track 4, The White Horse.
It is clear that the White Horse has always played a major role in the lives of the local people who live in its shadow. For without the periodic weeding and cleaning known traditionally as scouring, this monument would have soon been lost beneath the vegetation of the hill.
Well, the process of scouring or maintaining the White Horse actually goes back centuries. I mean, I know there was a writer in the 1680s who was saying that local people had an obligation to keep the horse in good condition. Certainly from about the 1770s to the 1890s, there were 15 recorded incidences of scouring of the White Horse.
The horse, because of its sort of location, is very vulnerable to weather, wind and rain, also lots and lots of visitors' feet and sheep, so it takes quite a pounding. And in the past, it was carried out about every 7 years, 7 to 10 years. We now do it every year, bringing in fresh chalk, which is quarried locally, and pounding it onto the figure to keep it topped up. That sort of makes up for the chalk that's carried away on visitors' feet and also by washed off by wind and carried away by the rain.
All the same, erosion has had an impact, and it is believed that the horse now lies 10 degrees flatter than when it was first constructed 3,000 years ago. Legend has it that once a year, the horse leaves its heady position and descends down the undulating hillside, known locally as the Giant Steps, into the valley or manger below. Could this rippling part of the landscape be the reason why subsequent monuments were sited here? Jane Cooper, who is chair of the Tom Brown School Museum, takes us back 10,000 years.
The landscape up there, which I think is so dramatic, was formed by ice melt. The end of the last ice age. The ice didn't come this far south. It didn't come further south than the Thames. But it would have been the equivalent of tundra, so the land would all have been frozen. And I think you can stand up there and imagine, you know, the water and the ice melting. And of course, as the ice melted, it carved away the softer bits of the land.
This theory would also explain the unnatural appearance of the flat-topped hill for which many legends are associated.
The great myth, and what gives it its name, is that it's said to be the site where St George slay the dragon, and the curving chalk mark you can see on the flat top is where the dragon's body lay, and the blood running from it so poisoned the grass that it's never grown to this day.
I mean, of course, there are other myths as well. The story that Uther Pendragon, the father of Arthur, was actually buried in the hill.
And the other theory is maybe it had a wooden fort, as it's in a very commanding position. So it could have been a good point for checking people through or as an outpost.
Whatever its purpose over the years, Dragon Hill is an unusual landmark. You may like to take a break from the audio trail here to see the hill close up. If so, take care as you descend and cross the road. To continue the audio trail, however, head uphill, turning right where the land smooths out, and follow the path until you reach the concrete pillar of the Trig Point.
When you reach the Trig Point, you are ready to listen to track 5.
Press pause now.